Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah.
Good morning. I had a good night's sleep, and it's my favorite day of the week. And I believe I'll start the prayer. Then get ready, cause I gotta get there. Soon as I get through the door, my hands up, feet off the floor. Cause all the saints, we go to work. That's how we do it down at my church.
January 1st, 2011, and this is out of the Pure Heart Ministries, Women Broken, Women Whole. And tonight, without further delay, we're going to introduce our guest speaker, Apostle Nakia King, and she and her husband are from Perfecting Life Ministries International, and this is their ministry. Amen. Can you hear me?
Amen.
Okay, I just...
Yes, Evangelist.
All right, praise the Lord. So we're going to turn the program over to Evangelist Nakia, and I'm going to sit back tonight, and I'm just going to enjoy the Word of God, because I believe God has a word for all of us who are tuning in on tonight, Daughters of a Purpose, and I'm looking to hear what the Lord has to say for us on tonight. Amen. So without further ado, we're going to introduce Apostle Nakia King. Amen. And you
Amen.
Are live on the air, Apostle.
Amen. Thank you so much, woman of God, for giving me the opportunity to even come forth and speak, amen, through your ministry. And as we begin to speak, what I was drawn to was the title and the mission and mandate of what God has purposed your heart to do. And I know that to whom much is given, much is required. Praise God. And so when you were talking to me about it, of course, you know, I do a Daughters of Destiny conference at our ministry, praise God, once a year. And so the Lord quickened my spirit and said Daughters of Destiny needs to be the topic, because God has greatness in the plan of his daughters. Hallelujah. And so it ties in and incorporates very well with what your mission already is. Yeah. Amen. And so our desire today is that women be made whole, praise God, and that women will come into a greater knowledge and understanding of God's truth, praise God. And I'm going to go ahead and start off with prayer, and also want to say on behalf of the King family, hello, everybody, amen, and again, even to the listening audience, so glad to be able to sup with you and get into the presence of God. Praise God. We're just going to go ahead and go before the Lord with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise that is due to you. Father, show up only like you can. Show up and show out, Father, that your daughters be shifted into a better place, a greater place, higher dimensions and elevations. God, we know that the enemy's desire is to kill, steal, and destroy, but you desire to give us life and give us life more abundantly. Sad to say, many of your daughters are walking around crippled, crippled in mind, crippled, crippled in their emotions, crippled, God, crippled, and stagnant from performing the things that you have orchestrated, hallelujah, for them to manifest in their lives. Father, for you said in your word, for you know the thoughts that you have towards us, thoughts of good and not of evil. And sad to say, hallelujah, Father, many women have been contaminated by the devices of evil. And so because of it, they are polluted. But God, we are praying on the line in this hour, God, that chains be broken, heavy hearts, hallelujah, be lifted, hallelujah. Those who are broken today be mended, all wounds be healed. Father, step in, Father, for your glory. Remove me so that you may take stage, that you may take presence, God, in this hour, hallelujah, that you may use my voice, you may use my mouth to be a peace, Lord God, to speak in the earth realm, your desires in 2013 pertaining to the destiny of your daughters, that they will not leave this line again, hallelujah, the same, but God, they will be shifted, they will be elevated, they will be motivated and imparted into, God, that they will rise up as giants in the land to accomplish their purposes, hallelujah, that they won't revisit old places, they won't revisit, hallelujah, broken places, they won't revisit and nurture hurts and wounds and pain situations over and over again. But God, they will understand that you see all and that you know all and that you've had a plan the whole time. And God, I'm praying, Father, of increase in anointing power, an increase in understanding, an increase in zeal, an increase, Father, of your precious spirit and your wisdom, so that your daughters can go forth in a spirit of excellence. They can go forth in confidence. They can go forth renewed, hallelujah, doing the will, doing your work, and proclaiming you for your glory, God. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, Father, in advance for what you are doing. Minds will be healed today. Yes, it will. Hallelujah. Hearts, hallelujah, will be changed and shifted. How about even conversations will become different? My Jesus, walks will change, God. Hallelujah. There will be a confidence, a stride that will exude from the daughters of destiny on the line today, God. Oh, hallelujah. And we thank you, Father God, for the growth that will go forth in this hour. We thank you, God, for the open opportunities that will manifest because of this hour. God, we thank you, Father God, for the shift in 2013. They will walk into their destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. Thank you so much again for allowing me to step out on the line. And as I've stated before, you guys, I got amen from the Spirit, Daughters of Destiny. Now understand, God has a purpose to accomplish in spite of. You need to know that on the line today, that in spite of it all, God still has a plan. That's destiny. It's predestined. God has already gone before us, my God, and prepared the way for us to accomplish great and mighty works in his name, for us to move forth in purpose, to move forth in power, to move forth in influence. Praise God, in spite of. In spite of what? I'm going to let you know what the in spite of is. Praise God, many women, you guys sadly are not aware of their destiny or purpose because life has had a way of sidetracking them into lower acts and further away from God's truth about their precious and very valuable lives. My God. Many women start out very young being introduced to perversion and mistreatment, if not by way of their close environment, then by the outlets of this world. We know that every time we turn on the TV, the perversion reeks with shows that allow women the access and platform to show the world how to live a devalued life. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Some shows of perversion being sought out and prearranged, and others from reality shows that portray promiscuity, prostitution, fighting, profane language, and random acts of outlandish behavior, all in the name of ratings. Troubled souls that even cry out for help under their mask of performances, but no one acknowledges their soul cries. All the world wants is ratings. I know that if some people on this line today, God wants you to know that he has heard your soul cry and that he needs you to know that in spite of it all, that he has destiny over your life. He has promises over your life, my God, and that he is getting ready to shift you in 2013 to draw you closer to your place of destiny. My Jesus. Yes, let's continue on. Let's also mention how music, you guys, music portrays and set bad examples for women by the lyrics in the videos. Y'all know we see it. Y'all know we hear it. Amen. We can turn on the TV and we can see women being devalued left and right by the clothes, by the rap songs about what they sing about there. Even the love songs have changed, praise God. And so women have become devalued because of it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
The standard, the innocence, the truth of God is constantly removed and ignored. And so because the eye and ear gates are opened, just like the eyes of Adam and Eve, to perversion because of sin, many women became or have become calloused, beguiled, shaped, and influenced by a world that desires to steal their purpose, power, and impact. Come on, somebody. They walk around with their legacy stolen, destiny altered, purpose polluted, and have not a clue. Come on. We can also make great reference to the pollution of others by their homes and their close environments. Before our young ladies of this generation can ever get good footing in life, y'all, the enemy comes in through abuse, molestation, absentee parents, loved ones that are absent, rape, inferiority complex, just to name a few. Understand, abuse, you guys, can cover many forms, from physical abuse, mental abuse. Come on, you hear how you ain't good enough. You hear how you ain't gonna never amount to be nothing. You hear all about your weaknesses. Come on, somebody, I'm talking abuse that has altered your view of yourself and your destiny. My God,
right.
We can go on to cover more. Emotional
emotional abuse, my Jesus, sexual abuse, isolation, verbal abuse, and even economic abuse. Come on, somebody. God had and still does a plan for the lives of his daughters. Oh, my God. Glory to his name. But because of the damage and master molester, Satan himself, God's daughters are operating below and even far from their place, positions, and manifestation of destiny. No, I said also in the church, because the church, the truth of the matter is, some have accepted God, but still are void of understanding and operating in the fullness of their purpose and destiny. The truth of the matter is, many women are sitting right in the church and are dealing with hurts. They're dealing with wounds, and they have bitter resentment towards their lives and even their past. And so because of these unresolved issues and matters that are in their hearts, it has made them disabled and handicapped from operating and receiving the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Their issues are so deep-rooted that it has seeped into their life, even in the kingdom, in their marriages, in their ministry affairs, on the job, and even their potential. My God, come on, somebody. Every time they desire to do good, the devil, evil, reminds and creeps into their minds and hearts to bring up past unresolved occurrences. Come on, somebody. You may not know what issue somebody is going through that's sitting right in the church with you. Praise God. But you need to know today, even if you are the one on the line, that God has heard your soul cry. My God, hallelujah, truly God is worthy to be praise. You can be hurt in the church, you guys. Let's look at the daughter of destiny by the name of Hannah. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and turn to this scripture and break down some great passages and break down some key verses that when we get done with this first daughter, because we're going to cover three, you guys, we're going to cover three daughters of destiny. And understand, you need to get to a place of receiving this word in your now situation, because the word will not come back void. And so it was then, God is wanting to release it and shift you right now on the line. Praise God. He is the same God as yesterday and even today and forevermore. He has a plan for you, daughter of destiny. My God. 1 Samuel 1, chapter 1, you guys. Hallelujah. And we're going to start here at verse 2. And note I said, let's set the background. Let's set it all up here. Understand, this is a daughter who is involved in the church. You may be a daughter on the line today. You are coming and going from church. You are all involved in religious activities. And outside it may appear that everything is okay, but inside there is a soul cry. There is a soul cry that because of your wounds, because of past experiences, and even because of your situations that you may be dealing with right now, maybe even in the church. Come on, somebody. Praise God. But you got to understand that you have destiny, and you better not lean to your own understanding. But in this season, you got to acknowledge God in all your ways, and he is going to direct your path even in the midst of it all. So we're going to go here, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, and it reads, and we're talking about Elkanah now, you guys. This is the husband. This is the husband of Hannah. And also another wife. Praise God. So he had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Have you ever been in the house? Praise God. Have you ever been involved in ministry right in your local assembly, and it seems like everybody else is prospering? Everybody else is moving in open doors and blessings. Everybody else is walking in destiny. Everybody else's life just exudes God's glory. But you're sitting up here with the crumbs. Hallelujah. You're sitting up here with nothing. This is how she felt, Hannah, the daughter of destiny. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. Come on, somebody. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Did y'all hear that? It said here that the Lord had closed her womb. What will you do in your seasons of drought? Will you allow those tests that God are taking you through? Praise God. To make and mold and refine you for destiny? Or will you get off of the potter's table? Will you get from off the journey of moving closer to your place of destiny because you don't understand what's really going on? Yes, Hannah, she had character. Hallelujah. She was a woman of God that pressed in spite of her issues. She was a woman of God that was not moved in spite of her soul cry, her heart cry. Hallelujah. In spite of her situations, she was a woman of God that remained consistent, and she had tenacity in spite of it all. Yes, yes, that's what type of woman she was. And so her husband, like we said, he would give her a double portion. Praise God. And the Lord, he had closed her womb. See, it was something going on behind the scenes. You need to know in the midst of your situations, praise God, that seem like it's not working out for your good, that seems like all you know what is breaking out. You got to understand that God is working behind the scenes. Oh, hallelujah. You got to remind yourself of a very simple yet powerful truth, that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. You are called for destiny on the line. You are called for greatness. Praise God. And it says here, and because the Lord, we're here at verse 6, had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Oh, hallelujah. Peninnah kept coming around and letting it be known what she did not have. Because, see, y'all got to understand, back then, when you have children, that represented something. That represented abundance. That represented that you were fruitful. And maybe you are in a season right now of drought in your finances. Maybe it's your health condition. Maybe it's a drought in your relationships. Whatever your thing is that you're going through, the enemy may be all around you, taunting you, provoking you, and saying, if you was a child of God, if you was a daughter of the king, why are you in this situation? Come on, he did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And so all around, this is what the devil does. Praise God. He comes and he provokes and he irritates. Amen. But silly devil tricks are not for a king kid. Hallelujah. Because understand, God was in the midst of it all. You got to understand, you got to stand still and see the salvation of God in your life. Do not allow the situations that you're going through or the people who are even trying to come up against you to get you off focus. Hallelujah. You got to understand and put your trust in God's ultimate plan for your life. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but I got to tell you, there will be joy in the morning if you choose to press through. Praise God. He is worthy to be praised. And so, like we were saying, you know, she kept provoking her. And we're talking about in the house of God here. Come on. Sometimes everybody ain't right in the house of God. Can I be real with y'all? Sometimes everybody ain't doing right in the house of God. They don't follow the ways of God, the principles, precepts. They don't walk around in the love, the mercy that they should. They don't walk around being merciful and even giving or whatever it may be. You may see this manifesting right in the house of God. Praise God. And this was the case. Huh? money. If you ever want to get to the place of manifestation, you better get tough. My God,
yes.
She was tough. Hannah was tough. Praise God. She was at a place that I see you, but I'm seeing past you because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know that God is going to see about me. In order for you to move from season to season and from glory to glory in your life, it's going to take you having something deeper than your own strength. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take the word of God. It's going to take you getting into a place of supplication, hallelujah, in a place, hallelujah, of constant flow with God so that you can remain empowered, so that you can remain on the course that God has for you.
Yes.
And we know this is the case. You know that saying, many people say, well, you know what a person is when they're going through you, the real them comes out. What is coming out of you? What is coming out of you? What is coming out of you in your processes, in your trials? Because I'm going to be honest with you, daughter of destiny, God is in control of everything. But not only is he in control of the people, places, and things, he wants to see if you will allow him to be in control of you. And when you can live a life that's a sweet smell of sacrifice, that nevertheless, God, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep loving. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep doing the things that I need to do, my prayer life, whatever I got to do and whatever God has called me to do, I'm going to remain the course. Then God opens up doors for you. See, it was a plan behind it all. And so what we can do, we can fail many tests. Yes, I said that. We can fail to see the next dimension. Come on, somebody. You can fail to see your next season because of your character and actions in the processes of your test. Oh, God, understand that destiny is serious. Destiny is serious. Hallelujah. Come on,
yes,
somebody. We're going to keep on. We're going to keep on. And it says here that verse 7, this went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Let me tell you something. The devil don't care nothing about us. Whatever he can do to break us down, his desire is to do just what the word says, to kill us. Praise God. Maybe it's some situations going on in your life. The storms of life are raging. The billows are rolling. Hallelujah. Opposition. Persecution, all kinds of stuff is coming up against you, even from those that are right there close to you, and you're saying, my God, my God, what is really going on here? Well, see, this was the case of Hannah. The devil do not care who he will use. But see, know, like what I said, all things work together for the good. So she was weeping. Amen. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Isn't that funny that you can be around people that just don't get you? You can be around people that will take, hallelujah, your situations and they will spew out their comments about it and they ain't even walked a mile in your shoes. Come on, somebody. That was the case of her husband. Can you imagine what she felt, what she could have felt towards her husband? How is it in all of what you've seen me go through, not only have you not been covering me like you should, oh, glory to God, but you've allowed this woman to sit up and provoke me year after year. Come on, somebody. And you're going to tell me you don't see what's going on? You want to turn a blind eye and a deaf ear to the situation? And then you got the audacity to turn around and say, haven't I been good to you? Oh, my God. See, God knows. God knows even in the midst of people who may not understand. And understand this, people who may not judge correctly the situation, God understands. And so you got to make sure that even in that, you don't allow yourself to get bitter. You don't get yourself in a place of being provoked and doing things unrighteously. See, it's to whom much is given, much is required. Daughter of destiny.
Yes, you better go ahead and say that.
Daughter of destiny. My God. Now let's continue on. This is good word, good word.
Yes,
and so
it is.
Verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Isn't it something how you can have storms going on all around you? You know you in the ministry you're supposed to be in. You know you're married to the man you're supposed to be married to. You know that you're connected to all of the right connections, but you're in the place of purpose, but still being misunderstood. Come on, somebody. He was a leader. He was somebody who watched over the temple. How could he say such crazy things out of his mouth? Could he not see the agony? Sometimes people will take your good intentions, hallelujah, and misconstrue them. And you have to be at a place as a daughter of destiny. I'm talking about even those in leadership, if they're not careful. That's why God tells us that we got to be careful what we speak over people. We got to be careful how we judge people. Maybe you are a daughter of destiny who has sat in a place where people had authority and mistreated you and misused you and spoke things that was not truth all over you. Hallelujah. But you got to understand that you need to press in spite of it all. You need to understand that God sees it all, and we're going to show you here soon how he turned it all around for his glory. I don't care who and what is rising up against you. If God before you, he's more than the world against you. Understand you are anointed for purpose. You are anointed for a destiny. You are anointed to accomplish great and mighty exploits in the name of the Lord. You can't get weary in well-doing. You cannot allow people, places, nor things to get you off focus of the main thing, because God got your back. Oh, glory to God. You got to understand he has your back. I don't care how long you've been in this situation. I don't care what they're saying about you, and I don't care who tried to mistreat you, and hallelujah, what famine and drought you are going through. God hears your cries.
Amen.
Praise God. And so as we continue on, I love the word, and I got to break it down, you guys, because we have to understand God's truth, hallelujah, and what he's saying to his daughters in this hour. And so as we continue on, amen, she said in verse 15, not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. Let me tell you something about Hannah. If you can see all of what she went through, the woman still had character. She still knew how to answer, season in grace somebody. Huh? We can't sit up here and want God to deliver us the world, but we can't die to the world to be raised up in newness of anointing and power to be an example for him. Will you die? Will you be crucified? Will you allow your flesh to die so that you can get to destiny? Because sometimes it ain't always about getting out of situations. It's about allowing God to come in and change it. But sometimes we can mess it up. We can mess up the very things that God is trying to do when we get in our flesh. Oh, come on, somebody. And the only way that you're going to be able to get to this place and stay at this place of consecration and anointing, hallelujah, you're going to have a prayer life. You're going to have to be built in the word of God. Oh, my God. She said, not so, my Lord. Oh, I know that was sweet to the nostrils of God. You hear me? I know that was a sweet smell. You mean to tell me she went through all of this? We can't even go through an ant bite without crying, a mosquito bite, hallelujah, without giving up. Somebody step on your shoe in the church and it's over with. Come on, somebody. How bad do you want destiny? How bad do you want your breakthroughs? How bad do you want God to come and see about this, your situation? Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for. Sometimes God can use the very ones who may not understand us and place us right there in their presence. And it's not for us to run, but for God to prove that he's God in the earth, that he's God over all men, that he's God over all creation. You can't mess up things. You can't mess up things, daughter of destiny, running your mouth. You can't mess up things, spewing out issues of the past and doing things and handling things outside of the character of God. Praise God. Understand, to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, God is going to see about you. I promise you that. Sometimes we operate in those ways because we don't see and we don't realize the power that's behind it all. But I believe that Hannah had a relationship. She understood the power of God way before this situation. She knew and understood the power of God way before this situation. Praise God, because she supped with the Lord. I believe that she seen firsthand how God was moving meticulously throughout her whole life. So when it came to the place of handling these big trials, she could do just that. Let me tell you something. You cannot press on to greater things. A lot of times what people do, they run from the very things that God is trying to give them breakthroughs in. Because they don't want to face the pain. They don't want to go through nothing. But God wants us to know that in it all, he'll be there with us. The word says the kingdom have suffered violence, and the violent have to take it by force. I'm not talking about violent in a physical manner. I'm talking about violent in your prayer life. I'm talking about violently fanatic in your character with God. I'm talking about violently fanatic with obeying the precepts of God. That if I seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness in everything I do, God got to come and his word got to be manifested. It got to be added. Hallelujah. He got to lift up a standard because I am putting my trust in him and leaning not to my own understanding. My God, Hannah was a bad woman, and I believe you are a bad woman on this line. And I believe, hallelujah, that God has greatness assigned to you. And that he wants you to know that in spite of it all, he is still God and he has a purpose for your life. Praise God. So as we continue on with this thing, Eli said, go in peace. He said, may the Lord grant you what you ask. She, in verse 18, she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Okay, and we can continue on. As we continue on, moving on in some scriptures, we see that what happened, she gave birth to a son, Samuel. Hallelujah. As we know, Samuel, this is something else Hannah did. So what she did, she dedicated Samuel, her child, to the house of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And even as we go on in chapter 2, we can hear her heart cry. We can hear how God prevailed through the testimony of her lips. Praise God. Hallelujah. You need to know on this line that you cannot allow your issues and circumstances, whatever is going on around you, to move you from purpose, to move you from operating in your potential. Because, see, she could have said, no, I'm not going to the house of the Lord no more because y'all folk ain't saved no way. Y'all ain't saved. Y'all ain't living right. I'm just call my husband out for what he is because I'm tired of him. Matter of fact, the priest want to try me, and I'm at the point, who you finna try? I'm going to go ahead and tell you off too, because come on now. We know where we come from. We know the things that we've been through. But we got to understand this, that even in it all. God is trying to remove some things out of us and impart some power in us and even orchestrate some things around us that we will be a testimony of his glory. How can you say you want to be used by God? See, this is the thing. Everybody thinks that destiny is a place of great accomplishment of power and influence, and it's a great accomplishment of financial gain, but destiny is when you can leave and live a legacy. Did you hear what I said? Destiny is when you can live and leave a legacy to be the salt and the light of this world, to make a difference and impact so much that people can't even get the taste of you and your anointing out of their mouths. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Elkanah, he laid with his wife and had a son. I'm quite sure that if she was all, amen, out of character and stuff. Y'all know how that go. The bedroom can be very messed up if you out of character, because we understand that we are creatures that not only are stimulated, men, by the things that they see, but even our words, our actions, all of that is a part of ministry in marriage. And so understand, you don't want to mess up the things of God. He's very detailed, oh, hallelujah, about our lives, that you don't want to get out of place of being tuned, hallelujah, and understanding his will and understanding his word. If you don't understand destiny, understand his word at least. And if you can get to a place of understanding and applying the word of God in every area of your life, whenever I went through seasons in my life, I made sure I put the word on it. I put the word on this. I put the word on that, no matter what it was. I was a demon buster. You hear me? I put the word on it. I put the word. I fought in the spirit. You hear me? I fought in the spirit. I worshiped in the spirit. Praise God. In spite of it all. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, understand in the midst of all that, that God does have greater things for us. But if he cannot trust us, daughters of destiny, with the smaller things, he cannot reward us with much more. Yes, understand your character and how you handle your obligations and how you handle people, even in those who are doing you wrong and misunderstanding you. All of that God is using as a test. Will you stand the test of time? Will you stand the test of opposition? Will you stand the test? Because understand that you can be ushered into destiny by the word of God, because the word of God is life. Many people are looking in the carnal mindset to find the destiny and purpose. No, it's in the spirit. It's in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Excuse me. It's in his word. And when we apply the spirit, the word of God, do you understand that it increases doors? Do you understand that it increases our spiritual eyes? It increases opportunities. You better understand Abraham. Come on, somebody. Abraham, he was told by God to go up and do what? Kill the very, and sacrifice his son, the very promise. And God did something supernaturally because of his obedience. Not only did he get up early in the morning and go, praise God, as he was going down on the knife, getting ready to sacrifice his son, his promise that he waited for so long, supernaturally a ram appeared. You got to understand destiny will manifest from supernatural realms right before your eyes. That's how bad God is. Your blessings, your opportunities, your destiny will chase you. Oh, my God. But God wants to see, can we stand the test of time? Will we allow ourselves to be renewed? Will we receive Christ and be sold out? Will we let go and let God in the past? Will we stop rehearsing past hurts and past issues and who did this and how they did this? Will we really trust God to say, nevertheless, God, no matter what anybody has taken me through, no matter who misunderstood me, even molested me, abused me, wasn't there for me, mistreated me, God, I'm going to renew myself in your word. I'm going to trust you. Those who have absentee fathers and mothers, that parents that was not in their lives, grab hold to the word. You know God says he'll be a mother to the motherless. You know God says he'll be a father to the fatherless. Open up your eyes to the word. Eat the word so that the word can become manifested in your experiences. That's destiny, you guys. That is destiny. Moving the things of the kingdom in the heavens on to two more, but I'm going to make it very quick, you guys, because I already know people tell me, you're a long-winded preacher. I love the Word of God, and I can continue on, but I want to make sure that I am touching every intricate detail of any individual, any daughter that is on the line. Praise God. And so I want to make sure that I not only give ear to God, but that I let him have his way. So we can go here to another daughter of destiny. This is Leah, Genesis chapter 29. You guys, we're not gonna read it that much. We're gonna hit here and there on some things, but understand this. Jacob, praise God, we're gonna go here verse 19, okay? Jacob, he, praise God, was staying with Laban. And Laban, let's just read the story. I don't want to take away from the context. Let's just start here at verse 19. And we're going to get to a place of understanding another daughter. Her name, again, is Leah. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you. Let's go up here. Now, Laban had to, after, let's start here, verse 14 at the end. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Have you ever, you guys, been looked over? Have you ever felt like you wasn't good enough? You never added up. They always pick somebody up. They always pick. It was never you. It was never you. This was a situation here with Leah. Amen. This was a situation with Leah. Rachel was beautiful to look at. Leah, she had weak eyes. Maybe you are in a place of weakness and people are not seeing you in the fullness of your potential. Maybe it's weakness in different matters, praise God, and it's been exposed. It's been put out there. And guess what? Others are being preferred over you. Oh, my God. Maybe it was weaknesses or issues of your past and people don't appreciate the anointing on your life. People don't appreciate and respect the title that God has given to you. Whatever your situation is, your weakness, come on, somebody. You know what your weakness is. You know what everybody look over you and pass over you because of whatever they may see and think and perceive to pick somebody else. Come on, we've all been through it. My God, and this was the case. This was the case here with Leah. She had weak eyes, and Jacob, of course, was in love with Rachel. And Laban said, verse 19, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Well, let me go back up here. Verse 17, Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. So, honey, she had lips, tips, she had hips, lips, and fingertips. Amen. She was just going on. Praise God. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because he loved for her. Praise God, that's some serious love. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to lie with her. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob laid with her. And Laban gave his servant girl, Zilpah, to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? Laban replied, it is not our custom here to give you the younger daughter. So he deceived. He deceived, hallelujah, him into getting Leah. And maybe you're in that situation. You feel deceived. You feel deprived. You feel overlooked. Praise God. You feel that you were in situations that you were manipulated, duped. Oh, hallelujah. But you got to understand, daughter of destiny, God has a purpose for you. Hallelujah. I don't care. care what man overlooks you. I don't care what situations you have faced, hallelujah, where people may not have appreciated your value. No matter how hard you work and get this together, somebody got something to say about that. But understand this, that God has a purpose for you in spite of it all. And the way that he sees you is as the apple of his eye. Praise God. God has a plan in the midst of it all. I don't care what it is that you're going through. And so long story short, you guys, because I don't want to go over on time, when it all came down to it, he did end up with Rachel, and he did love Rachel more than Leah, and so he went on to work. But understand this, Rachel was barren. So let me tell you something, everything that looked good ain't always good. You better make sure that you're in the spirit to understand the plans of God, to understand what God is purpose. Praise God, you need to know, I don't care who overlooked you, hallelujah, who mistreated you, who talked about you, who dogged you out, who said you'll never be nothing, hallelujah. Even if you're on the line and you have issues, inferiority issues, low self-esteem, whatever your situation is, understand this, that God wants to give you beauty for your ashes. God wants to heal and mend your broken heart and broken pieces because of life and the situations you've gone through. So Rachel was barren, and then Leah became pregnant. She gave birth to Reuben. Praise God. She gave birth to a whole bunch of other kids. Let me break this down here to you how this works, because it's, as I stated before, you guys, back then, when you give birth, that means a lot. You're fruitful. When you don't have kids, it's almost like a you're not good for anything, because kids was everything back then. It was a good thing that you gave birth and you've had kids. Praise God. And so when we break down her seven children, we find that God used Leah. Yeah, I'm talking about the one with the weak eyes that nobody appreciated. God used her children, hallelujah, to set up prophetic manifestation of what he wanted to do in the earth realm. We have Reuben, we have Simeon, and we have Levi. Levi, understand that's where the Levites came from, and that means to join. The Levites were to bring the people near to God. Understand, I don't care. Praise God. Again, daughter of destiny, who have forsaken you? Who have overlooked you? If God is for you, he's more than the world against you. We can go on to name all of her other kids, praise God, but because of the sake of time, I cannot. Judah, Issachar, we can go on, Zebulun, and then her daughter, Dinah. But all of her kids served a prophetic purpose in the earth realm, praise God. So, one more, and we gonna go. We're going to go. I'm trying to go ahead and move forth as quickly as I can. Hallelujah. So here we want to go ahead and talk about Tamar. Tamar, you can read it in your own time, 2 Samuel chapter 13. And Tamar, basically, she was molested. She was molested by her brother. Praise God. And the reason why I want to cover this, because oftentimes women who have gone through molestation have a lot of different things that they must be delivered from. Hallelujah. They must be delivered from these things if they want to get to a place of fulfilling destiny, of going and walking forth in the things that God has for them. So Tamar, she was raped by her own brother. And not only was she raped, but it was ignored. Her father ignored it. Hallelujah. Maybe you are somebody on the line and dealing with your relatives or even those in your spiritual home. You feel like you was molested in some kind of way. No, maybe not a physical molestation, but maybe you was used, abused, and mistreated. And it can, and it, maybe it have caused your heart and you to be callous and you to be bitter. Hallelujah. And you to not understand. It got you into a place of darkness and a cloud where you can't understand that God wants to work it out for his glory. Understand this as we go on and read the scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 13, towards the ending of it. Yes, vindication did come by way of her other brother rising up against his brother, but when it was all said and done, I want to point out this scripture here in this verse in there. It says, even in the midst of her molestation, what she did was ripped her royal garments off. Oh, God, that's significant. The reason why that's significant is because of this. Many people, many women have stripped themselves of their own royal garments because of the disrespect, because of the actions of other people. You got to understand that you are valued in God's eye. It doesn't matter what people have tried to do to you. Don't you rip yourself, hallelujah, of an opportunity to move forth in destiny. Maybe your attitude is off. Maybe your praise and worship is off. Hallelujah. You got to understand that if you ever want to get to the place of what God has for you, do not allow people or the things of this world to cause you to strip yourself of the things that God has for you. A lot of times, and even counseling different abuse victims, and praise God, you can see that they were so innocent in different situations, molestations and things of that nature. They were so innocent when they first entered into this situation. They didn't know, praise God, the manipulation. They didn't know the perversion that was there in that hand. But before everything was all said and done, they said, I'm a different person because of this. I can't trust nobody now. Come on, somebody. I can't love. And let's be real about it. And when your innocence, because Tamar was a virgin, maybe you've seen some things you shouldn't have seen. Maybe some people did some things they shouldn't have done to you. Praise God. And maybe you were caused a lot of things yourself. Because, hello, we can play victim mentality, but sometimes you can cause your own innocence to be destroyed. Oh, hallelujah. And so that was the case. And that can be the case for abuse victims now and people who are dealing with molestation. I'm a total different person because of this. I remember where I used to smile, and I remember when I used to get up and I was able to do this and do that. You can't even get out the bed now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. People, come on. It's serious. And so if you want to walk into a place of destiny, understand it's going to require you to get before your face with the Lord, get in his presence through prayer, get into his presence, hallelujah, and ask him to not only help you to forgive, but to heal so you can move forward. Understand this. I covered destiny downloads last year. And understand this, God has destiny downloads. He has books that's stored up in the heavenly realm with things for you to do. But the thing about it can never drop down those ideas. Come on, somebody. That's why God tells us not to worry. That's why God tells us not to be fighting and arguing and a part of all of this stuff. Because what happens, it blocks the flow. It blocks the flow of access of what God wants to do. Praise God. And so understand this, destiny download. God has things already stored up for you to accomplish and to do. Praise God. And it's important that you get to a place, hallelujah, of forgiving. It's important that you get to a place of letting go. It's important that you get to a place, hallelujah, of getting in the presence of God so that you can get all of the things you need to get to be renewed. It's not enough, you guys. It's not enough to just say, oh, I received Christ and, you know, I received the Lord. But then at the same time, it's things and issues going on in your life that you need to get delivered from. And I'm going to be honest with you, as an apostle, a woman of God, I'm very, 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 I have such a reverence and respect for God and for God's people. When it comes to people who when it comes to ordination and when it comes to people operating in ministry, you got to be at a place to be able to handle this next level. Because if not, you can bring contamination to other people because of your own hurts and insecurities and issues. Praise God. And I'm a woman of God that we're not going to continue to pass on hurts after hurts after hurts. So understand, and walking in destiny, again, like I said, it's about leaving a legacy. It's about making a difference. It's about being salt and light to the earth realm. But in order for that to happen, we got to get to a place of deliverance. Don't let nothing block and stop your flow. And what will happen with your destiny download, God will begin to open up your mind. Hallelujah. He will begin to open you up to greater things. He will begin to open you up to things he wants you to accomplish and even do. Praise God, but you got to be in a place of constant flow. Well, let's just go ahead and continue on talking about Tamar. Towards the end, praise God, which we don't hear too much more about her after, you know, she went into mourning and everything, but she did give birth to a son. Praise God. She gave birth to a son. And the great thing about this, the son, hallelujah, was in the lineage of the Messiah. So God, despite all of the faults of what Tamar and her dad not covering her, David, and doing what he was supposed to do, God still chose to continue the line of the Messiah through this woman of God. Oh, yes, you need to understand that God's purpose can be accomplished in spite of. Praise God, it's going to take tenacity. It's going to take a strong heart. It's going to take a prayer life. It's going to take worship. It's going to take accountability, responsibility, and obedience to access destiny. We shouldn't want to leave our lives here in the earth, praise God, without making a difference in other people's lives. Hallelujah. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, we can't go back and change things of the past. We can look at David. You know, he went through so much. The man of God went through so much with his own family overlooking him. Praise God. Not only did his own family overlook him, we can look at when he was in the house of Saul, he tried to kill him. So I'm quite sure it was voice in the man of God, praise God, that nothing could fulfill. But David understood that if he was going to get to destiny, he was going to have to press on in spite of it all. We can't keep crying over spilled milk. We got to let it go. If we want our marriages to be better, if we want to have access to destiny downloads in 2013, we're going to have to get serious in the face of God. We got to make some serious changes in consecration. We got to let it go and let God fight the battles for us. And not only that, how are we handling our seasons? Praise God. Understand this. That you seeking you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing things, in spite of everything, everything else will be added unto you. So you don't need to look to the north. You don't need to look to the east, west, or the south, because promotion comes from the Lord. Financial blessings will chase you down. God will show you where to go. Hallelujah. Ministry opportunities will chase you down because God will show you where to go. Business opportunities and relationships will chase you down because God will divinely connect them with you. Praise God. But it all starts with the issues of the heart. Will you say yes to your next level? My God. I'm reminded of the scripture where it talks about the coming of Christ and how one will be taken up, they'll be plowing in the field, and one will be there still there plowing, one will be laying in the bed, and one will be gone. We can go to the five wise and the five foolish. The brides, five went on and five remained. Don't find yourself year after year being stuck, daughter of destiny, not moving forward, not progressing. You ain't changed nothing. Hallelujah. You, the anointing, nothing is changing. Your life is not changing because you're staying stuck and stagnant because of past issues. Either you're going to believe that God is your hope against all hope. Either you're going to believe that God is going to work it out for your good or you're not. And the sad thing about it is, daughter of destiny, if you do not get delivered and if you do not forgive and if you do not press forward, hallelujah, in the character of God, you can allow the contamination to pass on to this generation. Oh, my God, understand this, that God is calling you forth to do great exploits in his name. God is calling you forth to make a difference. God wants to use you to be the standard. And even though you may have voids and unresolved issues, understand this, that you have destiny and you have God with you. And not only that, we got to understand this. Hallelujah. We got to understand that all accounts, some accounts will not be settled until the return of Christ. Don't be so busy trying to look back, wondering if God is going to handle people the way they should, or look around your situation and wondering if God going to handle them. You worry about what God is saying and speaking to you. because God is so bad and so powerful, because of your obedience, the shift will go forth in your life. And what he and he will demand the respect that is that you need. He will demand the vindication on your life. But will you trust God, daughter of destiny? Why am I coming this way? Because if I can be honest with you as an apostle and woman of God, it's okay to nurse your hurt, and it's okay to talk about what Pookie and Shanae and all of them did to you. But I ain't the one to stay there. And see, as a mother in the kingdom, I got to let you know that if you ever want to get to your place of potential and increase, let it go. If you ever want, you better get in prayer. You better get this word in you, because when it's all said and done, nobody can stop you from moving in destiny but you. But you. And so understand in this hour that God has a plan in spite of it all. Don't give this generation the same junk you've been through. Oh, come on. Same attitudes and generational curses, your children walking around acting like a bunch of baby kids. Come on. Because now you just don't went haywire with things and just don't let everything go. Come on, somebody. They see you mean, they mean. Come on. I'm being real about this. Why am I saying this? Because it's so important that if we want to reach the fullness of our potential and lead this earth a better place, hallelujah, lead people better off, then it's going to be up to us to make the difference. And you matter in this next dimension. But how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it for your children? How bad do you want it for your marriage? Many people are going through some heart-wrenching situations in marriage, even in the kingdom. They ain't even applying the word of God. Can I be honest? Oh, I'm going to be real about it. And then you're wondering why your marriage going haywire, because you don't want to do what the word of God says. Somebody needs to stand up and declare the works of God. Somebody got to stand up and lift the standard of God. It ain't about all the time what we feel. And see, that's the problem. We feeling too much. You're feeling too much of yourself. We got to look at the life of Christ and what he exemplified. He said, nevertheless, I'm going to follow your precepts. Nevertheless, I'm going to obey your will. Nevertheless, I'm called to love. I'm called to serve. I'm called to give. Hallelujah. So understand that this next dimension that God wants to slap on your life is going to take you being so sold out. Oh, hallelujah. It's going to take you being in another place of saying yes. I ain't talking about that, oh, yes, that, oh, I gave my life to Christ, yes, and that's the only change you've made. I'm talking about some serious yes, because I want you to understand you may be the first generation like David to bring change. Huh? You may be the first generation of something new that God is trying to do here now in the earth realm. But will you say yes? Oh, yes. See, you didn't know on the call today that that's what God is doing. He is anointing your head for another place, another dimension, another responsibility. Hallelujah. To open your eyes to see. He is placing salve, his anointing on you to understand. All them old seasons are gone. It's time to enter and have access to your next dimension. And right now you are in the hallway, and you cannot get the open door that's on the other end if you cannot obey and say yes to the stretching. Say yes to the responsibilities. Hallelujah. We cry about the church. We cry about the things we see in the church. And God is saying, well, will you be the difference that I need to make? It's easy to talk about what everybody else doing, but will you be the difference? Hallelujah. Will your marriage be the difference? Can your children be the difference? Oh, come on. What about your ministry? Can they feel the difference through you? Don't allow nothing to stop your flow, anything to hinder your flow in the next dimension, because God wants to you, he wants to use you for greatness. Oh, hallelujah. I am done, you guys. And I know that what I've said and done in this hour with God through me will be a blessing to you. Please have ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this hour. Hallelujah.
Okay. Can you hear me? Oh, wow. We just had a technical difficulty. I don't know what happened to Apostle Nakia. She was on, and it just dropped off. But I'm going to see if I can call her. We'll see if we can get her back on the air, because usually what happens is once we have a speaker on, they usually still have something else to say. But we're going to see if we can try to get her back. And those of you who are listening on tonight, it's just my prayer that you heard what was said on tonight and that you will really go back and read the Word of God and take a look at Tamar. Take a look at Leah and how, you know, she said Leah's eyes were droopy. She had droopy eyes. I don't know if she had lazy eye, if she was cross-eyed. I don't know what was her problem. But anyway, she wasn't the favored wife. But sometimes we feel like we're not the favored person. But God has a purpose and a plan, even in that. Amen. So let me see if I can get back in touch with Apostle Nakia, because I don't know what happened. But let me see. Hold on, everybody. We can't hear you. No. Yes.
Hello?
What? I'm for Nakia.
Oh, just a minute.
Hello.
Hi, Apostle Nakia.
Hey, I was wondering what happened. I'm like, I don't know what to do towards the end of the call, so I just hung it up.
I said, what is going on? She just left out. Wow. calling you back if you had anything else to say, because we are on until 7 o'clock. But I just wanted to know if you had anything else to say before we ended the broadcast. I know my husband has something that he wanted to add to the broadcast, but I just wanted to see if you had anything to say since the call was dropped so abruptly. I just wanted to give you if you had anything else to say.
Oh, are we on the call right now?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I apologize to the listening audience because I didn't know what to do. I gave it a couple seconds, and so I didn't know, you know, if that was the end or not. But no. I've said everything that God has given me to say. Amen. I really have. And well, let me say this. From a woman who has been through so much, amen, a lot of people don't know half my story, and a lot of times I don't like to talk about it because I don't want people, amen, to identify with where I was, but what I've become. I want women to be able to come to fruition of purpose, because the thing is, if we keep rehearsing hurts and wounds, and if we don't put the balm of Gilead on our issues and our circumstances and trust God at the meat of his word. What I love about God, he was tough on me, and for years I just could not understand, praise God, what he was doing. But I thank him now. You know how it is when we're kids and we, man, mama hard. Man, daddy, they hard. Man, they don't want me to do, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do nothing. But then you realize later on how that discipline worked another level of righteousness in your life. And the thing is, God wants his women to be able to progress to greater dimensions. And the thing about it is, God is calling his people, and I'm talking about to the marketplace, and I'm talking about to the community, the government system. God is opening up access, praise God, to the arts and entertainment. Yeah, the kingdom is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. And everything and everybody that dwells in it. But if we are constantly at a place of brokenness of our past, we cannot move forward into destiny. And so we can block and hinder our own flow in any dimension of our lives. We can block what God wants to do when we keep rehearsing and we keep holding on and holding grudges and acting out of flesh. And no, God is saying it's time to grow up and get on to the greater works in the meat. Because I got the circumstances of the past, but I'm not there no more. I'm trying to advance you. I'm trying to heal you so that I can open your eyes up clearly to understand. And the reason why people's eyes are not open to the fullness, because God has to hold you back in a way. Because if not, you'll run into those places contaminated and contaminating not only and bringing shame to his name because of your hurts and things you need to be delivered of. Praise God. And so it's so much that I can say to go on, but I don't want to keep going on about it. But it's imperative. I'm going to tell you something. The end of this year can be a total different. You can be a total different you. Your marriage can be totally different. I promise you, your children can be on a different track. Your relationships, I'm even talking about finances, can be on a whole different track. If you put the power in your life through the word and the obedience of what it requires. To whom much is given, much is required. But will you die? Will you be like the seed that had to die in the ground in order to produce in 2013? Because the quicker we obey, because God's word is quick. A lot of times people, I'm working on this deliverance. And I understand, I have total respect for people's processes. Yes, I do. But at the same time, I have too much respect for people's destiny to allow them to be stuck rehearsing the same old stuff. I see potential, and that's what God is showing me. Praise God, even as we were talking, and I can just see it so clearly. God wants to do some things that are great and mighty, and it's because of his return. And he wants to get it done so that all will have an opportunity to understand who he is, his love, his mercy, his grace. And like I said, a lot of people, you may be the first generation of the new movement of what God is doing. Just like it was the case with David, it was supposed to be Jonathan that was next as king, but God came and gave it to who? Gave it to David. And maybe God is calling you to places of greatness that nobody has ever been before in your family, and maybe even in church, nobody can really identify with the dreams, the visions that God is giving you. But understand, his Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth if you just say yes to your next dimension. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody on the phone line have anything to say? Honey? Did you have anything to say? We can't hear you. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Can you hear him, Apostle Nakia?
No, I can't.
Okay, wait a minute. I know it's my fault. Hold on. It's my fault. Okay, now we should be able to hear him.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, praise God. Yep, I can hear him.
Yeah, that was wonderful. First of all, I wanted to say that was a wonderful word that you gave us this evening, and I thank God for you and for the commitment and the power that you demonstrate through him. I tell you, I learned a long time ago that a lot of times those that are tested the most are those that are chosen the most. There's a difference between being called and chosen. You know, John the Baptist was called, but Jesus was chosen. And on and on and on. I think about Ralph Abernathy in our modern times and Martin Luther King. Ralph Abernathy was called, but Martin Luther King was chosen. So there are those who are called and those who are chosen. And those who are chosen, God tolerates less from them than maybe the called folk, because there's more going to be put on them than those who are called. The called are the ones who cry out in the wilderness announcing the chosen one's coming. And so the chosen one has to be prepared in a way that the called one doesn't have to be prepared. They have to be in a place where they are usable and amenable to God and God alone. They have to be in a place that God can trust them, because they're going to be leading a movement, not just a missionary work. They're going to be,
I hear you, Lord.
They're going to start a revolution, and not just a response. So because of the calling upon their lives, there's a greater responsibility God demands of them. So when you put to the test, instead of like saying woe is me and why me and how come me and how long me and all the rest of that, just say, Lord, prune me even the more so that I can be used by you, because I know you're preparing me for a great work, not just
any
old work. There's a difference between great and good. Good works are good works, but great works last a lifetime. So we have to just understand that. And then I want to just say another point, too. You were right on. I was thinking about my wife, and you were talking about you may be the first generation in your family that really moves the family in a different direction. And I was thinking about my wife, and I think about her family, and I look at her in that regard, that she's the first generation, and she's the first one of her generation, and really of any generation in the near past and the near future, that is totally leaning and relying on the Word of God. And there are those within the family that are hearing and heeding the call upon her life and want to get a part of it. And I think it's going to be a struggle, because the first person always has the struggle, because they have
that's the trailblazer.
They have to resist the curses. They have to resist the way it always has been in the family. Well, that's
come on, that mediocrity, yes.
And now you're saying, we're going to try it a different way. And they're going to say, oh, no, we ain't going to try nothing different. It worked for her, it works for us, and you just leave us alone. But the commitment and the dedication that individual has to have, once again, I think they're a chosen vessel, because they're going against maybe 10 siblings and 45 grand nieces and nephews and grandchildren and all of this, and brothers and sisters and the like, maybe even parents they're resisting against. But they're strong, because they're going to be ostracized. They're going to be considered the black sheep in the family. They're going to be ignored and talked about and belittled, and talking about, you know, they think they know this and they think they're better than us and they think this and that. But God knows. God knows the truth of the matter. It's because they're walking in a different path, a path that the world cannot receive, a path that the world cannot accept, a path that the world will not receive. And then I would want to make a third point. It was what my wife was talking about, Leah, and you all were talking about Leah and Jacob / Israel. And you know what's funny about Leah? Yes, she was the despised one, the least loved one. But Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, came through Leah, not Rachel.
Yes.
God,
come on.
Leah. It was Leah who had Judah.
Yes.
And Judah, who eventually would be the great-great-grandfather of David. And
that's
David
it.
And the like, and all the way to the 42 generations when Jesus was born. It was through Leah. Poor little Leah.
Yes, it was.
Cross-eyed, unattractive, unloved, despised by man, but prepared by God.
Oh, come on.
To be the grandmother, five times removed, of the Savior of the world. It was an old Leah that had a son named Judah, not Rachel. It was Leah that made the difference in all humanity, not Rachel. Rachel was loved by man, but Leah was a plan of God.
My God.
And so you have to look at it like that. You have to see, am I being pleasing to man, or am I willing to be used by God?
You better say so.
Sometimes we want to be attractive to man. We want to be admired by man. We want to be successful in the sight of man. We want to be pleasing in the sight of man. We want man's love and man's respect and man's adoration and man's admiration. We want all of that, and then we never ask ourselves, well, how does God look at it all?
Mm-hmm.
How does God
mm-hmm.
view me? Who am I mm-hmm. in the sight of God? And I'm going to tell you the truth of the two women. Leah was the one who laid the path to my salvation.
Oh, yeah.
It was Leah, son by many generations that hung on the cross. David was a part of Leah.
Yeah,
Solomon was a part of Leah.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest king, the wisest king, and then the king of kings were
mm-hmm.
all product of the hated one, the least
loved one,
the least respected one. The least admired one was the one that God used. Because God takes the foolish things to confound the wise.
Say so, man of God, yes.
Oh, my Lord.
What a mighty God we serve. Heavy is the head of the man. Heavy is the head of the man who is chosen to wear the crown.
My
heavy
Lord.
Is the, yes.
Yes.
Heavy.
Yes, it is. And much is required. Much is required.
Yes.
And it looks like you're being picked on by God sometime, and it looks like it's just not fair that they don't have to go through, and I got to go through so much. But look at what God
Come
is
on.
Doing to you. The one that is the best fruit is the one that's been treated the best.
Mm-hmm.
The one that has to be pruned and cut back and all of those things
yes,
it was
Lord.
Cared for. And sometimes caring is not always stroking. Sometimes caring is pruning, cutting away.
You better say so. You better say so. Let's be real about this thing.
That are not right.
My God. That's real talk.
Don't despise it.
Yes, it is.
Don't despise the pruning. It's just preparing
you
for what God has to do with you.
Yes, Lord. Better say so.
My Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity to share just a little thought that the Holy Spirit embedded into my heart.
Praise God. I really enjoyed supping with you guys. I really enjoyed the fellowship on the call. And I tell you, man of God, I had no idea. Even in speaking about the first generation, that's what God kept speaking in my spirit, the first generation, and not even having a clue about your wife, her situation, circumstances, when it came to her being the first generation. But God knew. And so to God be the glory.
Thank you so much. God bless you. To be a vessel
God bless you.
By God. God bless you. Thank you, Evangelist, for allowing me the opportunity.
You're welcome. I just think it's not coincidence. When God lines up something, he does it because he has a reason for it. So I do thank God for this program because I was listening to you, Apostle, talking about brokenness. You know, people, women still sitting in the church broken, people still sitting there not healed, not delivered from their past yet. And that's what this ministry is about. This women's part of the ministry is about women broken, women whole, because God wants his people to be whole. So I know that God is yet healing me from some things in my past, but he's doing it. And the process, a lot of people don't want to go through the process, but the process, it may hurt while you're going through it, but it comes out, like my husband said, the pruning process. Only when you prune something, it'll make it grow. You know, the pruning is what makes it grow. If you don't ever prune that plant, it's not going to grow. The leaves that grow on it are going to be small. They're never going to come to real maturity because they haven't been pruned and they got all that other dead weight on there. So that's what God is looking for us. He wants us whole. And I just thank God for connecting the ministries. And I don't know, you know, what your schedule is like, but if you could possibly be in Philadelphia in July, that would be great because that's part of the conference that we're going to be doing is Women Broken, Women Whole. And the whole theme of the conference is that we want women to be whole, tired of people going back to the same thing, going to church Sunday after Sunday and still walking bent over in the spirit, still broken in the spirit. Still
Praise
can't bring
God.
That baby forth, you know, because of the wounds and the hurt that they're experiencing. Closet alcoholics, closet pill poppers, you know,
Come on.
Getting high, smoking, and it's secret. you know, but they're hurting, and they go to church Sunday after Sunday, and nobody's there to minister to them. Nobody can see the hurt that they're experiencing because they're so made up, and, you know, they have this mask on and makes it look like everything is okay. But God is ready to take the masks off and do some healing.
Those
who want to be healed. You know, not
That's
everybody
right.
wants to heal because they're comfortable.
You got to want it, evangelist, yes.
Exactly. You got to want it. You got to really, really want it. And what I found out is even when you want it, you may not get it exactly at that moment when you want it, but when God does a healing and he does it in his timing, honey, it is nothing like that healing.
You better
like
say so.
Force God's healing. We can't do it. But in his time,
That's right.
he does it. And he brings it to pass. Oh, my gosh.
I'm telling you. That song, God help me to hold out until my change has come. And I, you know, thinking about that woman with the issue of blood for all those years, but she held out. You know, she held out, and sometimes that's what we got to do. We got to hold out, not only hold out any kind of way, but we got to hold out in the obedience of God and stand still and see his salvation, because sometimes it can hurt. But David said, it was good that I was afflicted, because now I understand. And I'm going to say this, God wants us to understand the power of who he is, because if we're going to do the greater work that he's calling us forth to do, I'm talking about signs and wonders now, how can we go forth in the kingdom of darkness and snatch people out of hell? How can we identify, how can we speak life to dead issues if we ourselves have not been healed? And then what will happen, we'll get in the flow and we're trying to cast out these demons. This is how serious this spiritual warfare is. And then just like back then, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And so it's important, because when we obey, it shifts us into greater authority. It shifts us in a place of obedience to where now we got respect in the kingdom to do the work that God is requiring us to do. So we got, you know, sometimes it's not about us. And so I remember some days that I'm going to tell you, if I would tell half the story of my story, and I am writing a book, but I'm going to tell you something. I should be out of my mind right now. I should be dead and gone in so many different ways. But I knew that if I ever wanted to be the daughter of destiny that God was calling me forth to be, because I knew 10 years ago some of the things that are manifesting over my life now. And like you said, I had to go through the process. And sometimes God would say, suck it up. I know what they did, but what am I asking you to do? I know who did whatever back then, but what am I telling for you to do? I understand the abuse. I understand the molestations. I understand the mistreatment. I'm talking about things in the church and out the church. But God said, I allowed you to go through all of this to be made and molded for my glory, for the things that I've prepared for you in advance. But I know that I can allow those things because I know that you're tough enough to handle the weight that's going to be required to walk into this destiny. And so when I begin to change my mind and receive the revelation of God, it began to get easier. Okay, devil, I see you. Just like Jesus, he said, you know, friend, come and do whatever you come to do. And so when them feelings and emotions rouse up, devil, I'm seeing past you. Because I know at the end of the crucifixion of my flesh, I will rise in power. Hallelujah. I will rise in destiny. And I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm going to aim at my issues. I'm not going to aim aimlessly in my flesh. I'm going to aim through prayer. I'm going to aim through worship. I'm going to aim until I beat this situation into submission. Because I will not allow no devil assigned to hell to stop me. And that's what he wants to do. That's just what he wants to do. He wants to destroy us from walking in our inheritance, from walking in the things that God has prepared for us. And so I tell you what, I'm glad I obeyed, evangelist, because I was mad at God. I'm being honest with you. Let me just be real. I would be crying and saying, well, how come everybody else can live any kind of way and do any kind of thing? If you don't even want me to say nothing, you don't even want me to deal with certain issues, then God, would you? But God. And I'm going to tell you what, I would have to sit on my hands sometimes, because in the world, I knew how to do a whole lot of things. I knew how to get in my flesh now. I'm telling you. So I thank God now, allowing him to discipline me. Now I can see the fruits of the manifestation, not only in my life being what I was, I'm to a lot of people, what I never had. So first generation on so many ways. But I thank God. I thank God, because to whom much is given, much is required. and to be the truth for which a lot of people would want to be in your shoes. But God trusted you with the mandate and the mantle and the anointing and authority to do his work. So, you know, it pays to obey. It pays well to obey.
And you know, mm-hmm. the woman with the issue of blood, that had the issue for the spirit of infirmity for 18 years. That's mm-hmm. what women broken when the whole foundation scripture is. You know what? She was at the right place to receive her healing. You notice Jesus asked her what was wrong with her. He saw her sitting there and said, "Come here. Come here, woman." And he said to her, "You're healed." He told her, "You're healed." Then he laid his hands on her. Okay, but she was in the right place. She was right there in the right place to receive her healing. She tried everything else and nothing worked. But she was in the right place. It was her
time. Praise God. It was her time. Come on.
It was her time. And I'm telling you, woman, thou art loosed. When Jesus spoke those words to her, she knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that it was Jesus. When he called her, she knew it was Jesus. She knew it wasn't just some other doctor or some other person that she had been seeing and somebody asking her for her money. She knew it was Jesus. And when he said, "Come," she went with no problem. And he said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And then he laid his hands on her. We go running around looking for people to lay hands on us, you know, instead of waiting for the appointed time of God to do what he's going to do.
Come on.
Well, God, why haven't you healed me? He's waiting for his appointed time. God,
his
why
appointed
haven't you
time.
This person or done this to this person? He's waiting on his appointed time.
Come on.
We got to be in the place that we're supposed to be in so that we can receive whatever it is God has for us. That's what we got to be. Take our eyes off of everything else and be in that place where God wants us to be. You know, even John the Baptist. My husband said John the Baptist was called, but Jesus was chosen, but John the Baptist was in place. He was called. He knew he wasn't Jesus. He knew who he was, and he knew what he was supposed to do when he did it. Jesus knew who he was, and he came, and he did what he was supposed to do. He didn't look for anybody else to do it. They called John the Baptist all kind of names. They thought he was crazy.
Yes, they did.
But that didn't deter him from doing what he was supposed to do. He was on his appointment. He was on his appointment at his scheduled time. His appointed time, and God did what he had to do. Same thing with Leah. Leah was there at her appointed time. God didn't know that the father, Laban, was going to trick him to work seven more years to get Rachel. There was a purpose and a plan for that, because if he would have got Rachel first, then he wouldn't even been bothered with Leah. And
You better say so.
That it happened like that. I don't know if she was cross-sided, crooked. I don't know if she had a
cross
eye. I don't know, but she
cross-sided. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm telling you.
Okay, I don't understand it. I don't know, but guess what? God did what God wanted to do, and he got Leah to get married to him first, because he knew he wouldn't have chose Leah first. He would have ran straight to Rachel. Okay? And Satan was trying to abort the will of God, but God wasn't having it. Oh, no, we're going to do it.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, I mean, everything worked out according to God's plan, and that's what we got to understand. That things may not look like we want them to look in the natural, but things are going according to God's plan. We just got to follow him in the spirit. We can't follow God in the flesh. God is not flesh. You ain't seen God at no time. You have never seen him in the flesh. He is not flesh. God is a spirit, and we got to seek after him in the spirit and stop seeking after people. I'm tired of people. I'm done with people. I really am tired of. I don't seek after prophets. I don't seek after people to give me the word. And there was a time in my life that I used to do that. I used to, when they said a prophet was coming here or there, I was there. Because I would sit there and be like, they need to call me. They need to pick me. But guess what? I'm over that, because the same God that talks to them can talk to me. The same thing he want me to know, I don't have to run all the way across the country for that God to tell me, because I'm not in the place to hear. And he will use the person to speak to you, but I don't seek that anymore.
Right,
God.
Right. You seek God, and it'll be confirmation, you know, yeah. Because God don't want us to put anything before him, little gods, and that can be bad. And so, and one thing you said about, you know, about the, it's the process. Sometimes it's about letting patience have its perfect work, because he's perfecting us through the process of our trials. Because I'm going to tell you something, so, and especially for those who God are calling to greatness, because if he lets you get through your process too fast, hello, he made with Joseph. He had to let him go through that process for some time, so that when elevation came and promotion, he did not stop being humble. He didn't get arrogant. Come on. When it was time to go back and bring deliverance to the very ones, when they came to him, he wasn't arrogant about it. He understood because of his afflictions. He understood. He went through his processes of what he needed to go through to understand, you know what, even with us, this battle is not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. We are called and assigned to pull down strongholds, even over those lives of people who may have done us wrong. Who didn't do right. We got to be the example that they should have been to us. Oh, hallelujah, with some of them. I'm going to show you what a real Christian is about. Since you, something happened.
And people don't get that, you know, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand why God allowed certain things in my life. I didn't understand why, you know, God, why would you allow me out of 13 children to be placed in foster care? You know what I mean? Like, and stay in foster care. Not be placed in foster care and then go back home, but stay in foster care until I turned 17 years old. I could never understand that. Like, God, you know, that wasn't funny.
Praise God. Praise God. Okay.
Some of the stuff that I went through, but now I'm beginning to see some things that
you better
I
say
couldn't
so.
See
yeah.
before. You know, but God is showing me those things in the spirit. He's giving me answers in the spirit, and
you
the
gotta,
things that he says
right.
don't make sense in the natural. Oh, it don't make sense in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in the spiritual realm, it makes a lot of sense why God did.
It makes, and I agree with you. I went through 12 different households growing up. My mother and father was never a part of my life. I lived in the same town as they did. My dad was in and out of prison. My mother on the streets. And so I don't even know what it's like to have a mother or father. Can I be honest with you? So all of my life, I'm going from house to house, and, you know, it was so bad that I would just have garbage bags, and whoever, I had to worry about trying to go to school and trying to find a place to lay my head. And so I totally understand where you're coming from. In the midst of all of that, it was a lot of hurt. It was abuse. It was pain. It was, but at the same time, I look at it, and God allowed me, like Esther, you know, before the process of her getting to destiny, with the king, she was dipped in different things. She was dipped in different ointments and oils and things to consecrate her for her next dimension. And God told me you had to go through that process to be dipped in those situations, and not only dipped in them, to have an understanding when you go before my people to do the work I've called you forth to do, but also it was things that you needed to grab along and grab in half, some nuggets that you needed to get from out of that situation. So eat the meat, spit the bones out, and keep moving, you know.
Right.
And so I had to learn that with the things that God is calling us forth to do and stuff. I mean, so much. But I thank God now, and God will bring, and like what you said, sometimes it's going to be a process. And one day you'll wake up and it'll just be lifted off of you. You can feel it. And then God will say, this the time and now, because of your obedience. Now you understand. And now I'm going to go ahead and lift this off of your life. I'm going to go ahead. It's just like with Lazarus. He was coming forth. Jesus had already called him forth. And in the same way, we can be in the church still bound. But and then he was being unraveled. And the same thing. It's, sometimes it is a process. But as long as we're obedient, God's word will quicken and perform at its timing. I, for 10 years, knew what I was called forth to do. For 10 years, a lot of things I'm walking into, I knew. Not only did I know, a lot of people being in my life knew too. It's new to a lot of people who are new in my life, but it's not new to people who knew me 10 years ago. But at the same time, I was so frustrated, evangelist, because I was like, am I going to do God's will? I'm so nervous because I don't want to get out of his will. But see, God had to teach me that it was in his timing, that I was going to walk right into it, that I already bought, already had the ticket to my destiny. Only thing I had to do was be patient and go through my processes, and I'm going to get right on my flight and go to my next level. I'm going to go and advance in everything that God has called me forth to do. And so it didn't matter if I didn't have mentorship, didn't matter if I didn't have mama and daddy, didn't matter if I didn't have the help of who, what, where, and why, but yeah. God was my mother. He was my father, and by his Holy Spirit, he has done it. He is doing it. He has taught me, and God, just like with Moses, what he told Moses, I teach you as you go. I'm going to teach you as you go how to go ahead and deliver my people out of the hands of Pharaoh. Well, I can't do this. I can't do that. But God taught him as he went. He said, I'm going to teach you as you go. And so it's a process. And so sometimes God will do things quickly. And we can quickly obey and get the deliverance that we need. And then some things, it will be a process. But guess what? In the process, we can still be obedient to the word of what God may require of us to do. Because even Jesus felt like, no, Lord, must I do this? But listen, nevertheless, must I drink from this cup? But nevertheless, even he felt that, but nevertheless. So in that moment, that told us that he was doing it in spite of what he was really feeling. And so sometimes, yeah, because, I mean, our flesh is a mess. It's a mess.
Flesh don't want to do anything.
Come on.
Right, but we have about 11 minutes left, but I just want to say thank you so much for joining us. And we'd like to have you back on again if you can, perhaps on a Monday, if we can have you on then. I don't remember what you told me your schedule was, but let's see if we can make that happen, because this word needs to go out. A lot of people, again, like I said, even if you look on Facebook, you'll see a lot of women that are just broken and hurt, they need to hear it. They just need to hear it. So I thank you so much, Apostle, for stopping by. And I believe my sister is still on the line, my baby sister. She's the baby of 13 children that my mom had. Yeah, and God's trying to bring her into destiny. He's trying to bring her into her destiny. He's trying to bring her forth. And the family as well, you know. And sometimes we face opposition from our family, but that's to be expected. Because when you live one way and then you start changing, you're trying to live a holy life, a righteous life, but Satan doesn't like that.
The enemy,
He doesn't want to lose you from his kingdom. He doesn't want you to leave. He wants to continue to use you as a force of darkness in his kingdom, but no, when we come into the light, glory to God, the enemy, darkness doesn't like light. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So, you know, just pray for her. Pray for my sister that she hold on to the Lord and get strong in him. And, just fall in love with the word of God. Fall in love with prayer. Just fall in love with all things spiritual, you know, as far as God is concerned. And, so God can put her in her destiny.
Amen.
Her too, in this family.
Amen. And she needs to know, you know, in her process, like what we were saying too, don't get frustrated when things, little hiccups come up and things are revealed or weaknesses come, to just keep pressing, you know, to the promise, because God's promises are yes and amen. And so when he called us to destiny, he's called us out of darkness into his light, we were already seated in the heavenlies. And so sometimes, like, what the enemy like to come in and do is try to make us feel like we can't accomplish or we can't be who God has called us to be. Even if it's just being if it's being a good Christian, whatever the case may be, because certain things may go on. You're going to see that because you've gone through a whole lifestyle of living one way, and now coming into the fold, every day is a fight. It's going to be a battle and a struggle, but it's a great thing that she has you. She has a powerhouse like you and your husband, of course. So that's a great thing. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You said that she has given her life to Christ?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
I hope she's still on the line. Shirley, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Praise God. Hi, sister. How you doing?
Good. Night, how are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to meet you, woman of God.
It's a pleasure to meet you, too.
Thank you.
She won't say much.
I've been listening.
She won't say much. What'd you say, babe?
I said, I've been listening.
All right.
Praise God.
Do you have anything you want to ask? Do you have any questions or anything you need prayer on? We only have about 7 minutes.
With me?
Yeah.
Oh. No. Yeah, pray for my children. Pray for the children.
Praise God. Sure thing. How many kids do you have?
Four.
Four? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
How old are they?
24, 21. 18, 17.
Oh, okay. So they're older.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Sure will. I sure will keep them in prayer. Amen.
All right. So with that being said, we're going to close the broadcast. We want to thank every guest that was in the chat room on tonight who came in, and some of them stayed for a while and then they left, and we have guest number 4114 still in the chat room. Thank you so much for stopping by. We hope that you heard something that has blessed you in your spirit tonight. And if not, you can go back to the archives and listen to the whole program, and maybe that will help you, or you can use it as a tool to help someone else who needs to go forth in their destiny tonight. So we just thank you, Apostle Nakia, for coming on tonight. I'm blessed. I thank my husband for the nuggets that he dropped with us, because he always has nuggets, and I thank God for how he uses him. And let me say this.
Praise
quick,
God.
I said this to somebody before, and they were shocked because of the strength of his voice and the anointing on his life, that my husband has cerebral palsy. And currently, because he fell down the steps a few years ago and he broke his hip, so his main form of transportation is a wheelchair. But, you know, if you don't tell anybody that, you would never know that, you know, this is his lot in life as far as his physical body is concerned. But I tell you, none of that has ever stopped him. He preaches, if there's one person in the room, he preaches like it's 10,000. Because
I know you're right.
Yes, this is what God called him to do, so... I mean, I really do thank God for him, because he gives that word out. And many people don't want to listen. Many people don't want to hear instruction from the Lord. But that's okay, because in his appointed time, God's going to send the people who's supposed to be here and listening and following instruction. So we thank God for him on tonight. And we bless
yes.
God that he has really anointed this man to bring a word. And so I thank God for that. So
amen.
If we have nothing else, we just want to say thank you to my sister who's been on the line for most of the broadcast. And we do thank God for her and for her children. And we just thank God that, you know, we're going to pray and believe God that, you know, the desires of her heart will come to pass, that her children will. What's that? Hello? Hello? Okay. Hello? Okay, I don't know. Hello?
Hello?
I don't know what that is. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, because you kept saying hello.
I don't know about
okay, we're going to, yeah, we're going to end. Apostle Nakia's phone dropped again. I guess what that dial tone was, that beeping was or whatever. But, we're going to end the broadcast now and just to tell God thank you that, you know, he blessed us to hear a word from not only Apostle Nakia, but from Bishop Scott. Thank you, Shirley, for being on the line. And for those that were in the chat room, we thank God for them as well. I can't name them by name because they were all guests with a number behind the guests, so I don't know who they were, but I thank God for them stopping by. And what I would ask you all to do is take this message and post it on somebody's page. You know, people need to hear this word. Post it on somebody's page. So that they can hear it as well and be blessed. A lot of people just need
to hear this. This is what I believe, okay? So post it on your page. If you have any friends that you think could benefit from listening to this, post it on their page too. And prayerfully, I can get another computer because this thing has cut people off and done all kind of stuff tonight. But we just thank God anyway for what he's doing. So without any further ado, God, we just thank you and praise you for tonight. We thank you for this broadcast. We ask you to bless Apostle Nakia, Lord God, and her husband, Lord God, and her family, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. Whatever she poured out, Lord God, I ask you to restore her strength, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for Shirley and her children. Lord God, you know what each and every one of them need. Lord God, we bind unforgiveness, rebellion, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of disobedience, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father God, and we just thank you and praise you that they are healed, Lord God, from whatever they need to be healed from. Every one of them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless Donovan as he's incarcerated, that he will come out, Lord God, better than he went in, Lord God, but that he will get to know you while he's in there, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Don't let his incarceration be in vain, Lord God, but let him get to know you while he's in there. We pray for Eric, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you will heal him, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that he will, Lord God, turn to you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just say thank you for all of their healing. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Amen. If the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Monday at 5 p.m. God bless you all. Have a great night. Amen, amen, amen. Good night.
Night.
Good night, John boy.
Good night.